Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. To find out more about the endowment, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Amy Comstock, Director of the Office of Government Ethics. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Well, let's start by finding out some about the Office of Government Ethics. Could you tell us about its history and its activities?
The Office of Government Ethics was created in 1978 as part of the Ethics in Government Act under the leadership of President Carter, actually. It was created in the wake of the declining trust in government following Watergate. There was obviously a lot of responses to that scandal, and one of the concerns was that the public had lost its trust in government and also needed a little more ability to assess for itself the integrity and impartiality of government officials. So the Office of Government Ethics was created, as I said, in 1978. At that time, it was part of the Office of Personnel Management, OPM. In 1989, the Office of Government Ethics, and which I will refer to as OGE, was made a separate agency, and it has been a separate agency since. We are a nonpartisan agency. I am a presidential appointee, but I have a term appointment so that my position doesn't change as a result of the recent election, for example. Our mission is to oversee ethics programs for the entire executive branch. We establish the policies and regulations governing conflicts of interest and other ethics matters for all executive branch employees. We, as we'll discuss in more detail later, we work directly with each of the departments and agencies in the executive branch to ensure that their ethics programs are functioning properly. So that's a quick thumbnail sketch of what we do.
Well, one of the questions I have is, does OGE have enforcement responsibility?
Well, we're responsible for overseeing the ethics programs, but if we determine that there, or an agency ethics official determines that there is a problem or a question with one of the employees in their agencies, we generally rely on the inspector generals for investigation, and then if there's still determined to be a problem, the matter would be referred to the Department of Justice for prosecution. So we do not consider ourselves an enforcement agency, although we are responsible for ensuring the integrity of the programs. And if we need to, we will then refer and rely on other agencies for the enforcement actions.
How big is OGE and what type of employees work there?
OGE is 82 full-time employees. So we're actually, as government go, pretty small. And we have a very specialized skill. We have a very strong staff of, oh, maybe 20 lawyers and a strong number of maybe 50 government ethics experts. Because what our field, our function is fairly unique to the federal government, we have people who are trained on the job and come and learn about government ethics. We have, I'm happy to say, we have a lot of long-time employees who really enjoy the work they do and feel strongly about our mission. And that's really good given the fact that the skills that we need for our job are really unique to OGE and people learn it on the job.
And then what's the relationship between OGE and the other organizations that are also working with ethics? How do you all work with the departments?
Well, we have we're the only agency that does government ethics as defined by the federal government, but ethics officials in agencies often are also responsible for giving advice on matters such as political activities, discrimination issues. Those are handled by other agencies. Political activities, the Hatch Act is covered by the Office of Special Counsel, EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission deals with discrimination matters. Obviously, as I indicated, the Department of Justice prosecutes, inspectors general investigate matters. So our jurisdiction relates, if you will, but our jurisdiction is only on what are considered absolutely ethics conflict of interest matters.
Well, let's spend some time talking about your career. Could you tell us about your career and how how you got here.
After graduating from law school, I went to a private law firm in Washington. And to be quite frank with you, I just decided that that was not going to be for me.
How long did that take?
About 2 years. Actually, I decided right away, but I didn't leave for 2 years. I just decided that the private law firm mission was not going to be mine. And started looking into the government, and actually had always been interested in teaching, and saw an attorney position open up at the Department of Education, and thought, well, that might be a good compromise, kind of to combine my interests. And I applied there and started working there in 1988. I worked in the field of special education as a staff attorney for a couple of years, and that was a fascinating job. But then moved on from there and started became the executive assistant to the general counsel, which is where I was first exposed to government ethics issues, and I think that was in 1990. And I moved on from there and became the assistant at the Department of Education, assistant general counsel for ethics, I think in 1993. And I oversaw the ethics program at the Department of Education until 1998, at which time I went on detail, which I can explain for in a minute, to the White House to oversee the ethics program there for about 15 months. On detail means I went as a career employee. I didn't become a political in the Clinton administration, although I was working in the White House. It was during that 15-month period that I was nominated to be the head of the Office of Government Ethics, and I was confirmed in 2000.
Which of the positions you described gave you the best preparation for your work now? I mean, it seemed as though each one of those was a function where you didn't have a lot of management responsibility, and now you have a great deal. How did or did I not hear the descriptions correctly?
No, at education as the assistant general counsel, I was the head of the ethics division, so there was a fair amount of management responsibility there. And in both agencies, education and the White House, I oversaw the ethics program, so there certainly was a lot of management responsibility in that perspective. Both of them were excellent training for the work that we do from the perspective that the ethics program, and we'll talk about the details of what encompasses in a bit, but the ethics program is something that actually has a huge impact on the lives, can have a huge impact on the lives of executive branch employees. The areas that we oversee are, in fact, the areas where someone's job and their personal life may overlap. And that's pretty serious business. You're talking about affecting someone very personally. The experience that I had in running the ethics programs at education and the White House, the experience of having to train employees, having to counsel employees, having to sit with employees when you're telling them they simply can't do either in their jobs or in their personal life that which they very strongly want to do. That's a hard thing to do. I think it was important for me to be able to bring that kind of experience to OGE. I am actually the first director of OGE to come from the ethics community as someone who has run programs working directly with the employees we work with. Again, OGE basically has an oversight function. So I think it was good for me to be, I know it's important for me to be able to bring to that job the perspective of the person who has to deal directly with the unhappy employee or the frustrated employee. And that kind of customer orientation is something I've been able to instill in OGE since I've been there.
Well, I'm curious, what was the most effective tool in those conversations? Because without enforcement ability, I guess you're left with education to explain why they can't do these things. But at some point, obstinate people probably didn't listen.
Well, I have to say, I've been pretty lucky. I mean, we should always try and run a prevention program. And so we do try, and it's very important to educate people why the answer is either no, that you can't do that, or if you're going to do it, you know, you must do it the following ways. But I've been very lucky that I haven't run into too many obstinate people. I mean, the fact is that the rules and regulations and the laws that we implement are all designed to ensure impartiality and integrity in the decision-making by government officials. But behind all those rules, obviously, there are regulations that you cannot violate in criminal statutes. So while I may never have been able to personally have the enforcement, I mean, the fact is, if you're sitting across from someone and you say, you cannot do that, that is criminal, it generally works.
We've had a chance to be around some leaders in, a unique perspective. What qualities have you observed are crucial to be a good leader?
There's a number of qualities that are important for leadership. One is obviously honesty, and to try and actually be the kind of person you would want to have as your most trusted advisor, someone who's honest, someone who's upfront, someone who will always be open-minded and fair. And I think those qualities are infectious in terms of the people you work with directly, either on my own staff or on the clients that I serve. I also think as a leader of an agency that has such a broad impact on the entire executive branch, it's extremely important for me to be able to instill a sense of mission in my own staff and in ethics officials across the agency.
It's a good breaking point, so it's time for a break. Stick with us through the break, because when we come back, we'll ask Amy Comstock, Director of the Office of Government Ethics, about the financial disclosure processes for political appointees. Did you ever wonder what you'd have to reveal if you were asked to join the administration? We'll find out when the Business of Government Hour returns.